Hi, I'm Joanne Shaw Taylor, and you are listening to Rock at Night.
This is Charisse with Rock at Night magazine, and today we are speaking with Joanne Shaw Taylor, blues rock artist. We're going to be speaking with her about her most recent album called Nobody's Fool, which came out in October 2022, and she's going on tour soon. You're supposed to be going to the Keeping the Blues Alive cruise too, correct?
Yeah, we're starting the tour March 13th on the cruise, so it's going to be wonderful.
I've always wondered, what are these cruises like? You've gone to the Mediterranean too, correct? A bunch of different cruises?
Yeah, two of them now. I absolutely love them. I really do. Firstly, I love being at sea. I find it so wonderful. I think I must have been a pirate in a previous life. I love it. It's a nice way to do shows because, you know, you're kind of locked on there. All you got to do is walk to the venue you're playing and perform. But it's just really nice to get that extra time meeting fans. And, you know, it's funny, sometimes when you're at a venue, you're so pushed for time. I think fans are kind of desperate to meet you and it can be a bit rushed. Whereas because they know they're on a boat with you for 4 or 5 days and they're going to bump into you at the canteen and in the elevators and everyone's a bit more relaxed and, you know, you get to really kind of get to know people a little bit. So it's really cool. I love it.
So from a fan perspective, I guess they can be up close and personal with you guys. It's pretty casual.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're living on a moving hotel for 5 days. So, you know, I think the novelty wears off and people are just used to, you know, you see some fans and then 3 days later, they're like, hi, Joe. I'm like, hey, Bob, how you doing?
So the performances, are they in the nighttime and then maybe during the day you guys stop off to do stop seeing?
It depends. So usually I do 2 evening shows because there's lots of different venues on the boat. So there's a couple of theaters, there's a bar, and then usually the big pool deck stage we do of an afternoon.
You probably see a lot of loyal fans, repeat people every time.
Yeah, you do, you know. They call themselves the Cruisers. You know, I think they, you know, again, they just really love being on the boat and getting that, you know, it's a rolling music festival. So there's so many different artists you can go see. And then, you know, get to meet them. And, you know, there's little workshops. One time there was wine tasting with Anna Popovich and, you know, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I really enjoy it.
I've always thought that was a fun thing to do. I've never tried it, but it looks like fun.
It's cool.
Now, I listened to your album, Nobody's Fool, and I really picked up on the Motown sound. I don't know if it's because you're in Detroit or what. What do you say about that?
I love that. I mean, I'm obviously a massive Motown fan. Obviously, I consider myself a Michigander now. And also just, you know, it was a big influence on me. My mom was a big Motown fan, and it was very important part of my learning about music, really, because all my guitar influences were predominantly male. So when I had to learn a thing, I had to look at different genres. You know, there was only really a couple of female blues singers, whereas, you know, more in the R&B and the Motown and the soul, it was Tina Turner and Mavis Staples and Aretha and, you know, so it was a big part of my musical education.
Have you been to Hitsville, the museum there?
I've never been to Hitsville.
Oh my goodness, you have to go. You have to make an appointment.
I know. You know,
but that's one of the best things I always recommend people to do when they go to Detroit. You need to go.
But I've got to do a tourist day. I've never done that here. I've never been to the DIA or Hitsville or, you know, I've never been to any of the big sports games. I've been to Pine Knob a lot. So yeah, I need to have a tourist day.
You need to. for sure. It's great when you go there. I noticed some of the songs that have kind of a Motown sound with the backup girl singers. Won't Be Fooled Again. I think it kind of has a Motown sound, although some people, reviewers have written, they think it sounds like Fleetwood Mac. What do you think?
I'll take either of those. I mean, the thing is when, you know, as a musician, I'm influenced by so much, you know, whether that's blues or Prince or Motown or Fleetwood Mac. And, you know, it all kind of seeps in and comes out as part of your own sound. So I can hear probably both of those in there somewhere.
New Love. I love that, has a Motown sound to me, especially with the sax.
Yeah, that was one written by Josh Smith, who was the co-producer on the album with Joe. And yeah, he played me that and I loved it. I mean, again, big Motown fan, so I thought I'd be able to sing it well and it fit well on the album.
One song that's particular, there's two songs that I really like that are ballads that are particularly poignant. Of course, Fade Away, I know was written about your mother. Love the piano in it, the cello, and the ending is very gospel-like.
Oh, wonderful.
That's my impression.
It was an interesting one. I mean, I literally wrote that. It was as an acoustic guitar and vocal, and it was really Joe and Josh that heard it as this much bigger piece. And I'm glad we went that way with it, because it's such a, for those who don't know, it's about my mum passed away 10 years ago after a long battle with cancer. And, you know, it's coming up to the 10-year anniversary of her death. And just grief is, it never really goes away. It's just a process with you, and it just changes year by year. And the one thing I was mostly feeling at this point was guilt, because she's missed so much time, and grandchildren being born, and, you know, we've all been living lives without her. So I decided to write a song about it, and write it from, if we were to sit down today and have a conversation, what would she tell me? And really, she'd just tell me, you know, any of those emotions that aren't positive are a waste of time. And, you know, we don't know how much time any of us have here, so make the most of it. And so, yeah, we turned it into a big ballad, and, you know, song means a lot to me. So I'm glad how it turned out.
When you wrote this, was this during the pandemic?
Yes, actually it was.
Do you think that had something to do with your thinking about the past and being sentimental, et cetera?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the pandemic was, particularly for touring musicians, you know, there wasn't, I mean, obviously it was horrific and people lost lives, but, you know, all I could do was really stay home and, you know, reflect on, you know, the past and what I wanted to do in the future. And I'm sure that came up. And particularly, you know, that time was so strange and so anxious for everybody with what was going on in politics and the pandemic. And so I'm sure when you're anxious as well, that, you know, brings things to the forefront. So, yeah, I'm sure it was on my mind a bit.
Another song that I really thought was beautiful was The Leaving Kind.
Oh, thank you.
And very pretty ballad. You have kind of a Spanish guitar part in there.
Yeah, I can't take too much credit for that. So I wrote the music as a Spanish guitar part, sort of flamenco. I'd had it for ages and was struggling to find where it was going lyrically. So I gave it to Joe, who took it to Beth and Leslie and co-wrote the lyrics for it. And I'm really glad I did it, because, I mean, the wonderful thing about co-writing is you have people come up with melodies or a theme that you necessarily go to yourself. And I love the melody, the vocal melody on that song. And just thankful that Joe thought to take it to those girls and women. Sorry, I shouldn't say girls.
I say girls too.
and you know, we got that out of it. So,
yeah, because there's beautiful harmonies in there that really.
Yeah, Danielle on that.
Yeah.
Who sings BVs for Joe. So, yeah, it turned out really beautifully, I think.
Plus, there's a killer solo in there. I really like guitar solo.
Thank you very much. I did. Actually, you know what? That was funny. I think I did that in one take. And I remember turning around and Joe and Josh were like, yeah, cool. I was like, see, I can play guitar sometimes.
When you write songs, when you collaborate with people, do you do it remotely or do you do it in the same room?
It depends. I'm still kind of new to co-writing, so I'm kind of finding my feet with it. My previous albums are predominantly written just by myself. So I'm starting to find if it's someone I'm really, really good friends with, I find it's better one-on-one, you know. If it's someone who's a co-writer that, you know, I really respect and like and kind of know, but maybe don't know as a good friend, I prefer to do it remotely. I find there's a bit more comfort with the, just kind of doing my bit and handing it off to them, I suppose.
I really liked your new version of Missionary Man, big time.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a fun one to do. I'd always wanted to cover that song. And, you know, I have a big history with Dave Stewart, but we've never actually really worked together, or not for years. So it felt like the right time. He was in LA where we were recording. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it felt the right time to get him on it. And I asked him to perform on it. And thankfully, he said yes. So I think it was a nice full circle moment for me.
I wrote the version is kind of grooving, and it's the bass line that's different from the original.
Yeah, I can't take as much credit for that as I would like. I wrote it as a very acoustic, foot stompy kind of blues, and it was Joe and Josh that kind of heard it more of this. I had to leave the studio one day for an interview, I think, and I came back and they'd been working on it, and they'd kind of taken it in more of a, I would say, Detroit kind of White Stripes almost. Mm-hmm. I liked the little nod to Detroit, you know, and then the little nod to Uncle Dave. So, yeah, I thought it worked out really nicely.
It warms me that you are so fond of Detroit because, I mean, I grew up there. I'm in Florida now, and yeah, it always gets a bad rap. Yet I feel it's so vibrant, especially in the music world. What attracts you to it?
I mean, I think it was that. It reminded me so much of where I kind of grew up and love in the UK, an area called the Black Country, which is known for, had a lot of coal mines, so the sky was always black. And then that's so close to Birmingham, which is a very industrial town, and the two cities came up with a lot of music. You know, Zeppelin, half of Zeppelin were from there, Slade, Deep Purple, Judas Priest, Sabbath. So we're kind of like the Detroit of England. And there's something about those places, those kind of hard-working, you know, blue collar towns that inspire, one, very real people, you know, very genuine, down to earth, funny, you know, people, and also very creative people, because, you know, life's tough and the winters are long. So you've got to find something, what means of expressing yourself and creating something that gives you, you know, inner happiness. So, yeah, I love this place. And it's changed so much since I've been here. You know, when I first came in 2009, downtown's awesome, you know, the shops everywhere, the great bar scene, great music scene. It's a really, really cool city.
Well, the whole Midtown area is really vibrant. A lot of young people moving back into the city.
Yeah, we've worked with a band called Max Satin that are out of here that are fantastic.
I know them very well.
Oh, okay.
I'm the first person to ever interview them and take their pictures. I went to their McMansion in Boston Edison area. That's where they were living.
Palmer Woods, right? Oh, that's what I was going to reference was, you know, they managed to, there's like 12 of them, you know, mm-hmm. there's like seven in the band and then the TM and the, you know, they're a young band.
Love the boys.
Mm-hmm. So they like one of those old mansions for mm-hmm. a couple of grand and turned it into a big band house right there. You know, so it's cool artistic scenes like that.
By chance, do you happen to know a band named Slowfoot? They're a blues band.
I know the name. I'm struggling.
Because they used to be called, I guess they opened for you years ago. They were called the Basement Blues Band or something like that. But now they're called Slowfoot. And there's a lot more of a blues scene than probably you realize. It's funny, you live in Detroit, but how often do you actually play there? Do you mostly play like in UK, Europe, around?
Yeah, we tend to do it once a year. I mean, I'm at the level now, which I hope this doesn't sound obnoxious, but, you know, we tour. Mm-hmm. So States, we do Florida through Texas, West Coast in the spring. And then later in the fall, we do East Coast. And so we tend to only do, you know, maybe we'll do Detroit and Grand Rapids. So, yeah, my days of playing locally, you know, I mean, there was a time when I used to have a gig every weekend in Detroit. But fortunately for me, the tour schedule's taken off a bit and I get to travel a bit more. So, but it's nice.
We covered your gig in Birmingham in December. That was kind of like a homecoming in a sense. Was there anything memorable about that particular gig?
It was the first time my niece and nephew have seen me play.
After all these years.
Yeah. Well, they're only 11 and 8. And so obviously pre-COVID, they were a little bit young. They'd come to sound checks before, but they were too young to come to the show. And, you know, or I always ended up being there on a school night. But so they came. We went to the German market and they stayed to the end. I didn't think they would. And then I found out that it was only because Oscar wanted to use his backstage pass again at the end. The only reason he stayed.
That's funny. Well, they probably saw Auntie Joanne in a different light, don't you think, seeing you up on stage?
I don't know. I think that, you know, they're so used to it because they've seen me on the television. We did Glastonbury and then we did Jules Holland. I've got a video of Oscar when he was about 3 dancing around the living room like a nutter when I came on the TV. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, and plus kids now, I mean, they've all got tablets and YouTube and so they know what I'm doing. So I think they're very unimpressed by it, to be honest.
It's pretty funny. I was looking at some people's opinions of Nobody's Fool, which I really like. I think some of your diehard blues fans expected it to be more bluesy. As an artist, isn't there pressure to, I don't know, do what other people expect of you rather than what you want to do?
I think so from the fans, but I've always said, why would you expect something from an artist? You're not that person. How can you possibly know what they're doing, what they're thinking, what life they're living, or what they're going to do next? And, you know, I've always said, you know, like this album is a bit of a departure for me. It doesn't mean the next album's going to sound like it. The next album might be a dedication to Motown. I don't know. You know, I'm always going to do something a bit different and I'm always going to do what I feel is right and best in those 2 weeks that I'm making an album. I mean, an album is literally just a snapshot of a period of time. And, you know, I made that album in July of last year. If I'd have made it in October, it would have been a completely different album. So, you know, I think, and I've always said, they're always going to sound like me. I'm always just going to try and do what feels right, because if it feels right, I think it's good, honest art. Mm-hmm. Opposed to sitting there and going, right, maybe I should do 4 up-tempo shuffles, 2 slow blues, and just kind of fake it. I don't think that's going to end up good. So, you know, I'll always mix things up a bit, but, you know, I'm a massive Rolling Stones fan. In reality, I probably listen to 6 of their albums. I don't listen to every single Rolling Stones album. So if by the end of my career, you've got 3 or 4 albums that you really enjoy listening to, you're welcome.
I think rock and roll and blues are really intertwined. And it's kind of hard to separate the two. And maybe somebody wants to be a little bit more rocking, you know, in some songs.
You gotta stretch and do something different. Stop yourself getting driven mad as a writer. And also, I think the blues is a feel. I think it's how I play guitar and I think it's how I sing. It doesn't necessarily mean the song is a blues song, but it might have a blues feel to it, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I wonder, like, for instance, Joe has his side project, you know, Black Country Communion, which is really rocking. You know, he's with Glenn Hughes and everything. Is there any chance that you might do a side project with somebody that's really hard rock or totally different?
Yeah. I think I would really like to do something that's more focused on, I love really catchy melodies and pop songs. Mm-hmm. And I also like messing around with loops and the more electronic rock side of things. So I think at some point, I think I would shock my fan base too much with that. So I think I would have to do it as a different project. And also I'd like collaboration on it. I'd like to work with Eric Hogemeyer, who's a brilliant producer out of Detroit, now Sutton again. You know, and maybe I'll get the Max Satin boys on it or something.
There you go. They're very Rolling Stones. I talked to Carson the first time I photographed him and I said, emulate Mick, because he was kind of stiff at first. And I said, look, Greta Van Fleet goes with the whole Led Zepp thing. You go with Rolling Stones. And he's been doing it for the last couple of years now.
It's such a sweetheart.
Thank you so much for speaking with me. And I hope to see you in the near future do more
we'll
blues.
Have to do
this. And maybe I'll see you in Detroit.
Here is Joanne Shaw Taylor with Nobody's Fool.
You're listening to Rock at Night.
The introductory song, Get On Down, is from blues artist Billy Bass Alford. Look for his music at ReverbNation.com.